TV.
I have never been more embarrassed in my life to be a member of the human race. Now that's right, we are finished as a race. It's wrapping up. The level of complicity of people, willingness to give up any semblance of their selves, a healthy semblance of selves or civil rights or any of these basic things, it's all gone. We now have a complete world of sheep prepared for slaughter. I'm speaking, of course, about the coronavirus. This is a coronavirus update from yours truly. I know you want to hear great, meaty spiritual truth from me like you got yesterday. I would like to do it, but sometimes this just rises to the surface and I have to get it off of my chest. I cannot believe the stupidity of my fellow humans. And this whole thing, I see it more clearly than ever now. It's a hoax. The virus is real, but the fear is manufactured. And it is pushed via mainstream media, and it has become, as a friend of mine in Ohio said, and I totally believe him, I'm going to read his email to you, this has become a worldwide cult. And I really don't know if there has ever been, in the history of humanity, a worldwide cult. You have cult pockets here, David Koresh and Charles Manson, you have these tiny little freako cults, but never has there been a worldwide cult where suddenly the most important thing is to keep away from everybody else, to wear protective gear as if you're going out to war, and to become virtuous in your own estimation to the point that you will condemn others for not conforming. And what really doesn't matter to those in the cult are facts. The facts do not matter. It is the mass indoctrination of television, of mainstream news. I knew this was going to happen. Again, back in the 80s, I had a book by Jerry Mander called The Four Reasons for the Elimination of Television. And this guy made the case back then that television was the beginning of the end. And I absolutely believe that. Television. The television consists of phosphors and lights. Things that produce light. And Satan is called a messenger of light. Do you know what the Greek word for light is in that passage? Satan himself is disguised as a messenger of light. You know what that word light is? Phosphor. I saw this back in the 80s before I even started doing this publicly, the late 80s, as I was reading this book. And I looked at that verse and I looked at it in the concordance. I probably did this in 83. I was studying this. And I looked at the Greek word, and it was phosphor. And I made the connection between the light that literally mesmerizes you as it goes back and forth on the television. I don't know if it still does that. That was in the old days with the cathode ray. I don't know how it is with digital, but it's all very quick on the eye, very quick, very quick. And when people get together, people in power, or should I say, if the mainstream press becomes the spokespeople for the people in power, and they use the mainstream press as a propaganda outlet. And if this is if people are so stupid that they only can believe what they hear on, say, one news source, and they're not smart enough or curious enough, and this doesn't surprise me any, because who's curious enough to look into the scriptures for themselves? No, the majority of the world just takes whatever doctrine is given them. This includes any religion, the Buddhists, the Hindus, the Muslims, the Christians, they just take what is passed down. It's tradition. Remember the movie Fiddler on the Roof? Tevye, tradition, tradition. That's the thing. It's all passed down, and they just believe it. For instance, last night, was having a little drink with Giselle and Juliana. And Giselle, our mutual friend, is the one wearing the mask everywhere, just panicky. You can tell she has this weight on her, this worried look in her eyes. She's always just fearful. She's like a little lamb, just always sharing and worried about everything. And she says, oh, you can't believe what's happening in Ecuador. They're packing up bodies in ice. They're taking bodies and there's not enough room in the morgues. And Ecuador is falling apart. She's from Peru. Ecuador, I just heard it on the news. It's terrible what's happening in Ecuador. I said, Giselle, I'll tell you what. Let's look and see how many deaths there are from the coronavirus in Ecuador. And I went to a objective site with just statistics, stats. I mean, it was worldometer.com. You can check this for yourself. And she checked it. She was kind of disturbed because I went to the thing called the internet and I researched it, which a lot of people don't do. I found out that to date, there has been 144 deaths in Ecuador. 144 deaths. More people die in Ecuador from trying to learn English than from coronavirus. 144. Oh, those overwrought morgues. Oh, the poor ice companies trying to keep all the bodies from decomposing. I told her that. I told Giselle that, and she just looked at me like I was a space alien just arrived from another planet. It is clear, it is obvious that there are powers that are using this. And I'm not even willing to say that this thing was artificially brought in. I'm not even willing to say that it was a bioweapon. It could be, but I'm not even, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter really. Because, as Obama's guy, Rahm Emanuel, used to say, never let a good crisis go to waste. And the lefties in the world who want power and want to bring a communist, i.e. socialist communist, same thing. Socialism is communist light. It leads to it. Those who want to bring that into existence and run the lives and have a few people running the lives of many people, that is a hierarchy of rulership that is unchecked, as in every communist regime. There is a leader, there is the exalted leader, there is the state, and they lord it over the rest. That's how it works in humanity. Their saying is that never let a good crisis go to waste. In other words, they're constantly scanning the globe, the lefties are, to find a crisis, a worldwide crisis that can then be manipulated. It can then be fanned into a worldwide fear where people are then willing to give up their freedom for safety. This is what is happening with the man-made global warming movement, which is completely bogus, and it's what's happening with the coronavirus movement. It's a movement and it's a cult, and it is completely freaking bogus. They are taking something and making it something big. I'm sorry, but I go back to what the left here in the United States were trying to do to Trump. They decided on day one to impeach him, and then they spent the rest of the 3 years trying to look for a crime, looking for something that they could blow up, like his phone call to the Ukrainian president. A little innocent phone call, trying to blow it up into a crime. They're just taking any little thing, trying to blow it up, fan the flames, get everybody on their side, and then use it as leverage to gain power in order to deceive the masses, which is apparently not very hard. And then from there, they just take power because, as I've told you, global problem requires a global solution. See, the key here is global. And there's never been a time in human history where the entire globe has been shut down financially. This is huge. This is it. I mean, this is it. This is it. This is the dress rehearsal, I should say. I shouldn't say this is it, but this is the last step before the mark of the beast. This is it. This is the prep. This is the last dance, baby. It's freaking over. This is it. This is it. It's all going down. It's all going down. I mean, look up. Look up, because your salvation draws nigh. This is it. This proves to me how utterly compliant and stupid and mindless that the world population has become. And I know it's because of television. It's because of the intoxicant of Babylon. I talked all about this in my Revelation series. The intoxicant of Babylon is, excuse me for saying it, but I have to be careful here. The Israel types, the Israel types own all the entertainment industry. They own television, they own movies, they own music, they own video games. Anything that has to do with a screen that mesmerizes you, that makes you stupid, they own it. But they make the world drunk by these things, and yet they themselves remain sober. Kind of like the woman who seduces the man to rob him, to get all his money from him. They try to get the man drunk, and they stay sober so that they can have their way with him. Well, this is what these Israel types have done, and it's common knowledge that the Israel types own every single media. Newspapers, forgot to mention that, magazines. There was a writer named Joel Stein back in the day. He wrote for Time magazine. I'll never forget reading an article by him. I quoted it in my Revelation series. Quoting him in Time magazine, he said, "I'm so tired of the world saying that we," that is the Israel types, you get my code there, "that we own most of the television media, the movie media, the games, the newspapers, the magazines, any entertainment. I'm tired of saying that we own and run most of that." He says, "It's time to put that to rest. We own all of it." That was from an Israel type himself. And if you look at the CEOs of all the biggest companies, the corporations, the merged companies, the giant home companies that all these little tendrils come down off of the mothership, it's all run by the Israel types. And this is known in the book of Revelation, I'll give you the verse here, as the intoxicant of Babylon. And the world has become drunk on it, drunk. And so now they're able to be manipulated by the screen. Yeah, yeah, so they're all dumb. This is it. This is it. I'm convinced. This is it. We're done. Done. And it's all in the name of doing something good. It's all purpose to manipulate the feelings of the masses who just want meaning in their lives. They have no meaning in their lives. They don't know God. And so here's something they can do. They can do something to make a difference. They can save people from this terrible virus. They can save the earth by segregating paper from plastic. They can do their part. And so they rise to the occasion and they are cajoled into it. They are propagandized into it. They are manipulated into it by a non-existent problem. And of course, as in every other case, the cure is worse than the disease. That's certainly the case here. This is a freaking scam, just like the man-made global warming is a scam. But the majority are buying into it at horrifying rates. It's global. See, that's the key. You must have a global crisis. And the two global crises I can think of now that are just in our faces are man-made global warming and this coronavirus. This is the latest and the greatest. And the left is hijacking it in order to take power. And the only thing standing between free people, the only thing standing between free people and tyranny, global tyranny, is Donald Trump. He's the only guy standing between freedom and global tyranny. I don't know how the guy survives every day. And yet you know how I believe the whole thing's going to end. That the good guy, who I believe will temporarily rescue us from the evil designs of those who would take a crisis and fan the flames of fear in order to take advantage of the fear of the people, in order to tell them what to do, in order to tell them where they can go, where they can't go, who they can gather with, who they can't gather with, whether or not they can leave their homes. And please don't forget, we're in a surveillance state. They know what you're doing all the time. And they'll be able to tell if you're supposed to stay in your house and you leave your house, they will know and they will come to your house. And they're talking now about social distancing within a home. And people are so bought into it. I'm actually believing that people enjoy it because it gives them purpose. It gives their life meaning. And I'm telling you, it is going to become a thing where, and it already is, where people just look at you like, why are you wearing a mask? Why are you getting too close to me? Don't you care about people? Why aren't you segregating paper from plastic? Why don't you just put your can of Pepsi in the regular trash? Why is your thermostat at 76 degrees instead of 65? Why are you driving an SUV? That's what it is. And they will shame you. I already know what I'm going to do. I already know. If they made math, I'm a freaking rebel. I totally hate this. And I was at the Winn-Dixie grocery store the other day, and they come on the loudspeaker, you know, and they have this little grocery store voice. Well, welcome to Winn-Dixie. We are trying our best to make sure that you are safe and that your shopping experience is the best that it can be. Please observe our company policy and keep a distance of 6 feet. Social distancing will save our lives. And then they say this. Remember, we're all in this together. And I was like, no. I'm not in this with you. No, that doesn't include me. You're in this together, not me. I'm not in this. This doesn't include me. We're not all in this together because I'm out. I'm not in it. So quit saying that. And they actually came on the loudspeaker the other day, and the same grocery store, Winn-Dixie, right down the road here on State Route 84. And they said, please be kind to one another. Be patient and kind with one another. Be patient and kind to one another. Because if you don't, we will send our people over to collect you and send you to a place where you will be re-educated. You will be taught how to be patient and kind with people and how to stand 6 feet behind the person in front of you in line. You need to be educated. And I told you, I keep interchanging the man-made global warming with this coronavirus because it's all part of the same scam. Really, they're different scams, but it's the same type of thing happening. They said that, and science is becoming God. Science is becoming God, but it's not science, it's pseudoscience. They're actually saying that some people who don't believe in global warming, that is man-made global warming deniers such as yours truly, they should be in jail because they're ignoring science, you see, and it's pseudoscience. And they're leading scientists are coming on the God Almighty televisions now and saying, if you don't cooperate with this, you just don't believe in science. Science is becoming God, and it's not real science, it's pseudoscience. Same thing with global warming, man-made global warming. Pseudoscience, you have to bow down to science. Here are the facts. Anyone who disagrees with the facts is a dissenter, a denier, and they must be put away for the good, for the greater good, for the greater good. That's why this whole thing is a great deception, because people who are doing it totally believe in their minds and their hearts that they're doing it for the greater good. They honestly believe that. They're virtue signalers. They love to be seen as people who care. I care. This person doesn't care. And yet, while they say they care, they are being manipulated. They are being tyrannized, and they don't even know it. That's the hell of this thing. They don't even know it. They don't even know that they're being manipulated and controlled, and they just go right along with it. They go right along with it. In that vein, if they ever made masks mandatory, if they ever said that you have to wear a mask in public, I would do it. But here, like, let's say I got this paper towel here because I don't actually have a mask. Let's say that this is a mask, right? Here's my mask. You see that on the studio cam? Okay. If they told me I had to wear a mask, this is what I would do. And I'm not kidding you. And I will film it for you. If it comes to this, I will do what I'm about to demonstrate to you, and I will film it. I would put two eye holes in it like this. Put an eye hole here, and then I put an eye hole over here. It's not a very good eye hole. And I promise you I will do this. And I promise you the stares I get will be looks that could kill. I will wear my mask like this. This is how I will wear my mask. I'll have the little elastic straps back here, right? You see that? Little strap. Where's my other eye? There it is. Okay. You get the idea. And they'll say, I might even put my sunglasses on it. You know what I mean? I might even put my sunglasses. I'll put my sunglasses on. And of course, my mouth, the secret is that my mouth and my nose will be completely exposed. And they'll say, you're not wearing a mask. What do you mean I'm not wearing a mask? What do you call this? This is a mask. All you said was I had to wear a mask. This is a mask. I'll probably have sunglasses over it. That's what a rebel I am. Yes. Oh, you know something great that happened? There's some women out there who are making masks in into bikinis. This is rebellion. I love it. And people are so angry with them on whatever Instagram. Well, I don't know. What are these social media things? They're saying these women are evil. They're wasting masks that are needed for the salvation of the planet. And what are they doing? This is what they're doing right here. There's one. Yeah. Clever girl making a bikini out of black surgical masks. Very creative use of the ties there. Here's another one. Yeah, that's good. That's good. Very creative. I like the creativity of it. I like the rebelliousness of it. This is where it's coming. Now, I want to talk to you. I said I was going to share with you the email that my friend sent me. That this is a Corona cult. It is now a cult. It is now a bona fide cult. My friend Larry in Ohio says this. This thing has now become a cult, the Corona cult. I like that so much. It's the title of the show. There are certain rules and regulations in cults. The same goes for this cult. This thing has exploded millions and millions of followers. It's a huge cult. All of the virtue signaling and wearing masks, and we're in this together. And when he said that, that's exactly what they said at the grocery store. Remember, we're in this together. And all the groupthink and much more. And it is definitely a cult. Oh, speaking of the grocery store, I was just there like an hour ago. And this is what happened.
You gotta be freaking kidding me. You gotta be freaking kidding me. Now we got red lines on the sidewalk. You can't even walk down the sidewalk unless being told by the higher ups of the grocery store how far away you're supposed to be from the person in front of you. This is tyranny. This is fucking tyranny. Unbelievable. You can see how many people are just, yeah, surrounding me here. Unbelievable. Oh, thank you. Oh, I better stand here. If I see somebody there, I must be here. Thank you, grocery store wizards, for helping me keep safe.
Yeah. They're drawing lines, putting down tape on the sidewalk to tell me. I mean, it's one thing to put it in the checkout aisle. That's bad enough. But to put it outside on the sidewalk? I'm starting to think that people are practicing social distancing in their cars. Because I see cars pulling up to red lights and people are parked like way, way back. Like, what the hell are you doing? They're practicing social distancing in their freaking cars. I got to read you a quote now from a writer. Oh my God, wait till I talk to you about ID 2020. This is going to shock you. I'm going to do it in this show. I don't care how long it takes. I have an article by a man called Michael Burry of The Big Short. This was the movie made based on his life. This man, Michael Burry, slams virus lockdowns in a tweet storm. Love this guy. The subtitle of this article, which appears in Bloomberg News of all places. The investor, who also has an MD, says the economic costs of the pandemic responses are too high. Yeah, no kidding. Listen to what he says. Michael Burry, the doctor turned investor who famously bet against mortgage securities before the 2008 financial crisis, has taken to Twitter with a controversial message. I like it so far. Lockdowns intended to contain the coronavirus pandemic are worse than the disease itself. What has yours truly been saying? I have been saying that and saying it. Back to the article. Government-directed shutdowns in the U.S., which led to millions of job losses, millions of job losses. Now I hear 17 million people have lost their jobs. That can't be right. 17 million people? Is that right? That is right. Ah. Which led to millions of job losses and may trigger one of the country's deepest ever economic contractions, aren't necessary to contain the epidemic and have disproportionately hurt low-income families and minorities, Burry argued in a series of tweets over the past 2 weeks. He also said some controversial treatments for COVID-19, such as the malaria drug hydroxychloroquine, should be made more readily available. Oh my God, shame on this guy. He's talking common sense. Burry earned his MD at the Vanderbilt University School of Medicine, but decided to become a professional investor after making hugely profitable bets in the stock market. He shot to fame after his hedge fund's bearish mortgage wagers were chronicled in The Big Short, an Oscar-winning movie based on the best-selling book by Michael Lewis. I'm getting to the heart of this pretty soon here. Hang in with me. Although, Burry, I gotta sneeze. I should get it over with. Mask. Oh, crap. I sneezed without my mask. I'm sorry. I need to put a mask on the camera. I need to put a mask on the microphone so that I don't infect you in case the coronavirus can travel through the internet. Here we go. Although Burry has mostly kept a low profile since then, he started sharing his views more widely last year to warn of a central bank-fueled bubble in passive investment products. He's now focusing on the outbreak that has shuttered economies, killed almost 75,000 people worldwide, and changed how millions of people live and work. Before I go on, this is my prediction. I'm pretty good at this stuff. When this thing, quote-unquote, ends, when this thing's over, it's not going to be over. People are going to be still, they've been scared. They've become so frightened by overblown media reports. I mean, they're overblown. Remember in the early days of this thing, they were talking about how hospitals are going to be inundated, and these hospitals in New York City were not going to be able to contain the people who are coming in to find beds to be treated for the coronavirus. And then you got these citizen reporters going out with their cell phones to those very hospitals the next day, and they're freaking ghost towns, ghost towns. In one report, one mainstream news report, don't remember which one, but they were showing video footage, and they claimed it that it was a hospital in New York City, but it was actually footage from a hospital in Italy. And they showed the footage right on top of each other, the one from Italy and the one from the U.S., and they said it was the same thing. So the numbers are being overblown, and there was an article in the Washington Post, as I alluded to last week, that all the numbers and all the models, speaking of models, I like those models that were, you know, modeling the mask. Those are the kind of models I'm interested in. But no, these other models, these people projecting how many deaths they're going to be, they said, well, yeah, you know, we were kind of wrong about that. Kind of wrong about that? Kind of wrong about that? You're feeding these numbers to the Fauci dude, and the Fauci dude's feeding them to Trump. And then Trump's like, come on, DJ, this, wake up. He's got to know what's going on. He's got to be doing something. Okay, Trump is our man. So I realized at the subway, people aren't going to shake hands anymore. You're going to go to shake somebody's hand after this thing's over, and they're not going to do it. They're going to do the stupid elbow thing. This is what I'm going to start doing. Boom, slap across the face. Boom, boom. How's that? I greet you. Boom. Is that clean? Do you need a little wipe after I slap you in the face? You can't shake hands anymore. What's the world coming to? Because people are going to be like, ooh, ooh, what's coming next? Yeah, what's coming next? We know what's coming next. We know what's coming next. The big one. So back to Mr. Burry. What's this guy's name? I forgot already. Michael Burry, a total expert. Here's the money paragraph right here. He says that this guy's an expert. He knows the stock market. They made a movie about this guy. He's a genius. Quote, universal stay-at-home is the most devastating economic force in modern history. I would say world history. I would say in 6,000 years of Adamic creation. Universal stay-at-home is the most devastating economic force in modern history, Burry wrote in an email to Bloomberg News. Quote, and it is man-made. Yes, it is man-made. Certainly. Not the virus, but the reaction to it. It very suddenly reverses the gains of underprivileged groups, which Trump was helping. Black unemployment in the 3 years of Trump's first administration was at all-time low. Hispanic unemployment, all-time low. Women unemployment, all-time low. Youth unemployment, all-time low. It very suddenly reverses the gains of underprivileged groups, kills and creates drug addicts. Yet people don't have jobs. What do you think they're doing? 17 million people lost their jobs. They're going out. They're shooting up. So it reverses the gains of underprivileged groups, kills and creates drug addicts, beats and terrorizes women and children in violent, now jobless households, and more. It bleeds deep anguish and suicide. What did I say a month ago? I said that the suicide rate is going to outpace the frickin' death rate, which is minuscule. It's tiny. 144 people in Ecuador. Oops, sorry about your luck. Like 400 people in Florida. It's just, even New York, the supposed epicenter, the last I checked it was Unbelievable. I mean, I'll do it right now in front of you. Coronavirus, the statistics for New York. New York deaths in the state, 6,000 deaths in the entire state. How many for New York City? Coronavirus statistics for New York City deaths.
Top stories. They're just giving the statewide.
I checked it yesterday. I'm not getting an immediate reading here. So I'll put the number on the screen here when I do my back research. So this is changing everyone. It's changing how everyone's going to live even after it. And the reason, again, the whole idea is to take advantage of a crisis to get control. This is what the leftists want. This is what the socialists and the communists want. They want to institute their dreams, their wish list, like universal health care that is run by the government. They want to take away guns. They want to control how you drive. It's to say how you eat, what you eat, where you go, if you can go, who flies, who doesn't fly, who can leave the house, who can't leave the house, where you set your thermostat. How much you eat, what you eat. In China, they have cameras all over the place, facial recognition, and if you talk to too many people, if they find you like discussing something on the street, they will take a picture of you. When you go to then book a flight, you can't book a flight. Why? Because they have demerited you. You have earned demerits, and you don't even know it, and then you go to do something, you go to order something, you go to order a hammer and a sickle on Amazon.com, and you can't do it because you're shut down, because you violated their protocols, and they know you did because they have IDs. They have ways to find out. And along that line, the ID 2020 Alliance. This is horrible. If you want to know about it, go to ID2020.com. It's digital ID. I know this video is going long, but I got to get this out of my system so I can go back to nice, calm, spiritual things. But this has to do with the final years of Millennium 6. This is from PYMNTS. I have no idea how to pronounce it. Pymnts.com. It's about ID 2020. You remember the other day, last week, I was telling you that the Mark of the Beast could have integrated in it some kind of either proof or the vaccination itself that you have been inoculated against social diseases. And it's for the greater good. Oh, it's for the greater good. Everybody does it for the greater good. At its annual summit in New York, the ID 2020 Alliance announced the rollout of a digital identity program with the government of Bangladesh, Gavi, the Vaccine Alliance, and new partners in academia, government, and humanitarian relief. Digital ID is being defined and implemented today. I think this is the mark of the beast. And we recognize the importance of swift action to close the identity gap, said Dakota Gruner, executive director of ID 2020, in an announcement. Now is the time for bold commitments to ensure that we respond both quickly and responsibly. See, this is all hidden behind this sheen of light, the sheen of social responsibility. We and our ID 2020 Alliance partners, both present and future, are committed to rising to this challenge. Wait till I get to this one part. When the opportunity for immunization to serve as a platform for digital identity, the program harnesses existing birth registration and vaccination operations to provide newborns with a portable and persistent biometrically linked digital identity. The program will also explore and assess several leading infant biometric technologies to offer a persistent digital identity from birth, unlocking a potential global public good. Does this sound scary to you? Go to ID2020.com and you will read more of the nightmare. I will finish with a couple emails from my friend, the guy who gave me the title of this show, Larry, Coronavirus Cult. He says this in an email called Dear Zender. He quotes our friend, my friend and yours, Benjamin Franklin. The title of this section, JPEG he sent me, is politicians use COVID-19 to take away your freedoms. That is exactly what is happening. Politicians. I mean, Trump's being manipulated in this, but I think he's smart and I think he's going to work around it. But yes, COVID-19, the coronavirus, the dreaded coronavirus, is being used to take away your freedoms. Benjamin Franklin, the guy with the round glasses, who wore the coonskin cap in Paris and all sorts of girlfriends, he said those who would give up essential liberty to purchase a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety. Wow, it's like the guy was looking into the future. Those who would give up essential liberty, and that's what's happening here, to purchase, that is, a little temporary safety, and we're trying to be safe. We want to save the world. We want to save ourselves. We want to be good citizens. And yet, in the process, you morons, with your stupid masks and your fake statistics from Ecuador, you are giving up your liberty. You're giving up your essential liberty. And Franklin said anyone willing to do it deserves neither liberty nor safety. Is that a good quote? Or is that a good quote? Those are the only two choices you have. Another email from my friend says this: these people have the numerator and the denominator wrong, yet they are disproportionately causing tremendous destruction. That is, the numerator and the denominator, how many people are dying out of how many people are tested. And when the denominator is small because not many people are tested, then the death rate is going to look very high, the percentage. But if you would test everybody in America, then the denominator rate would be much larger, and therefore the percentage would go down. That's my take on it. Quote, these people have the numerator and the denominator wrong. These are the people setting the models who have made the projections. Yeah, the same people who can't predict the weather. Yet they are disproportionately causing tremendous destruction to the economy. Better safe than sorry is their cry. That's just it. That's just it. It's presented as better safe than sorry. Franklin had a beat on it, man. Franklin had a beat on it. For the sake of temporary safety, for the sake of better safe than sorry, we're giving up essential liberties. But actually, their cry is better go with tyranny rather than liberty. This is what they say: better to go with tyranny than with liberty. I look behind me and I see dear Judy Garland. That's her, probably age 16 or 17 when she started working at MGM. I love this photo, and I framed it because it mats and frames her innocence, the innocent days before she began being used by the studio, being given pills to keep her up, to keep her weight down, so that they could manipulate her and make wonderful movies with her, which they did, but they used and abused her. But here in this photo, in this wonderful portrait, she is young, she is innocent, and she doesn't know anything about what's happening now because she's dead. And in these days, you know what I've been saying? Blessed are the dead.